Ladies and gentlemen, I am Jay Slater with Reno's Rock Station, Rock 104.5. And with me is my morning crew co-host with 105.7 KOZZ, Mr. Kevin Smith.
Good morning.
And we are here at Aftershock 2024. And so far, some awesome performances. And I am so excited to be talking to the one and only Tim Montana. Tim, good afternoon.
How are you?
I am doing great. So we've been spinning your single, Savage.
Thank you so much.
It is fantastic.
Thank you.
That is your second top 10 single now at Rock Radio.
I know.
Congratulations to you. Tell us how the album came about, and I got so many questions for you, but tell us how this album came about and just the song itself.
Yeah, it started with Devil You Know, and I was burned out of the Nashville scene, and, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you went from country to rock. I'm like, no, country never accepted me. I was always the redheaded stepkid that cussed too much, played too loud, and I was like, yeah, and then someone's like, why are your friends Billy Gibbons, Dave Grohl, and Kid Rock, and not Garth Brooks and Alan Jackson? I'm like, that's a good point. These guys found me first, you know. And so I was just burned out of Nashville, so me and Billy Gibbons bought a 1896 lodge in Montana called the Wise River Club. I turned in Devil You Know thinking I was going to lose my record contract, which turns out I was.
Right.
Had I not turned in Devil, but I moved to a town of 44 people in Montana and started this business venture with Gibbons. And the same day we closed, August 23rd, 23, was the same day that Devil went to radio and just quickly exploded up the charts. And I was like, hey, God, why plan A and plan B the same day? So travel logistics got much more complicated, especially in January, but it's pretty rad living at this lodge. My wife's like, you just wanted a meet and greet spot next to the house, because I go down there and just meet all the local fans.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm like, anytime she's mean to me, I'm like, I'm going to go get selfies from people that love me.
So how does that come about? How does a business venture with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top even come about?
11 years ago, he found me, and I would not be talking to you guys today had Billy Gibbons not found me. And he took me under his wing. I've opened for ZZ Top 75 times. We started a hot sauce company together called Whisker Bomb. We have barbecue sauce, pepper sauce, salsas. We're both hot sauce aficionados. And then when I was up in Montana, I was like, dude, this old bar that I've been hanging out at since I was a kid is for sale. It opened in the 1890s, and he said to me, bag it up, brother. He always says bag it up. I'm like, I don't think you can bag up 8 acres in an old hotel, but we'll try. So we got it, and he shows up there. He'll roll his tour bus in and play LaGrange on stage, and he went table to table giving everybody ZZ Top keychains, and one guy refused to believe it was him.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, hey, he gave you a ZZ Top keychain. He's in a $3 million bus that you see that's bigger than the building, right. And he looks like that, and then he played LaGrange, and the guy's like, I don't buy it. And I'm like, I don't know who would do a prank like that happens to look like that. So
he's looking around for Ashton Kutcher. Am I being punked? What's going on
it's
here?
It's a long play. It's a long, slow play.
Yeah, so and then we followed it, the label greenlit, making a record, so we went and wrote the Savage song. We did all the visuals in the wintertime in Montana where everything is savage, and I feel like the single is really fitting for the time that we're living in right now,
because
everything is pretty savage. I don't know if you've looked around, but everything's pretty savage right now. So
on stage, you were talking about the fact that just a couple weeks ago, you guys raised $250,000 for our military service people.
Yes.
And you dedicated a song to military folk and LOEs. And so just talk to us about that and what you do to help raise these funds.
Yeah, it started about 5 years ago. I was getting hit up all the time. I've got a bunch of military buddies. SEAL Team 6 guy, Rob's from my hometown. His brother was the first guy to play me on the radio. When I was 17, I had recruiters at my house left and right because I was an off-grid kid that ran in combat boots and only watched Navy SEALs and Rambo when the generator would start. So I was a perfect pick for them, and they were fighting over me, the Marine guy and the Army guy. And I was like, you know, lived a pretty rough childhood with a very abusive stepdad. So I was ready to get out of there and potentially do the military. And I'll never forget, I got accepted to a music school. My mom was like, thank you, Jesus, and shipped me off to music school. So I think I have that inkling in my body, and I met Chris Kyle's dad, and I made a custom Gibson guitar and sold it for, I think, $113,000 for PTSD research. And he said, man, if you didn't serve, it's your duty to serve those that served us. And I have so many military friends. Like I said, I'm so grateful and thankful for everyone out there that serves, whether you're a first responder, LEO, whatever that is. So then all these charity companies started reaching out, like, hey, will you perform a concert? And I know that, and they're all, most of them are great, but some of them keep a lot of money and drive new cars, and I don't like that. So I got with a group of buddies that have great jobs that can afford to volunteer.
Right.
And we donate 100% back. And we find nonprofits that take very little for overhead. And so within 5 years, we've raised $1.5 million. Fort Campbell sanctions it. So they come down, they bring 160 a soar, they land Black Hawk helicopters in the field. I'm terrible at golf, but I'm really good at shooting shotguns. I'm pretty good. I'm no sniper. Chad Belding from Reno would argue with you. I'm not as good as Chad. But, yeah, so we shoot shotguns. We've had everybody from Charlie Sheen, POD, Collective Soul, Aaron Lewis, Colby Calais comes out. I put her with a bunch of fifth group operators. She's like, put me with some single dudes that are hot. And I'm like, how about the fifth group special forces over there? So it's been a really fun thing to do. So
that is incredible. So there's a couple songs I want to ask you about. You teamed up with Kid Rock on the song Cowboys on the Run.
Yeah.
Which was great. Heard it for the first time on the drive over here.
Yep, yep.
And that was just a lot of fun. You've worked with Billy Gibbons. Now, you, Billy Gibbons, and Matt Sorum.
Yep, from Guns N' Roses.
Covered
California Love. Yeah.
How does that come about?
I started doing it live on tour with ZZ Top, where I'd go from LaGrange and I'd do that walk up where they, before they go, I'd go, and I started rapping over it. And it takes a long time for a white dude from a trailer in Montana to learn how to rap, especially the Tupac part was very hard. Dre is not that bad. Tupac is very difficult to learn. And so I finally studied the song. So Gibbons started having me do it with the band, and I've played it with him and Robbie Krieger from The Doors one night, and Joe Bonamassa and Earth, Wind & Fire, and Billy's like, do that California Love hip hop stuff. And these guys are looking at me as they're just dropping this riff, because it's a Joe Cocker riff. A lot of people don't know that, Woman to Woman. And so those guys, of course, know the Joe Cocker version, but it just became a thing, so we decided to record it. And I believe on that same EP is a song called Reno.
Yes, it is, and that was going to be the next question. You wrote the song Reno. Had you been to Reno before you wrote that song?
Yes. Okay. My uncle lived there. He's the only musical guy in my family. He's an opera singer. He was, fun fact, he was Billy Joel's vocal teacher in high school for choir.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so that's my only connection to my family for music is my opera scene uncle. But I'd been to Reno a lot.
All right.
And I just wanted to write a song about, man, Reno's like a good spot to just go get hammered, just blend in, and you can, you know, stumble through the bar or the casino. No one really messes with you, depending on the casino.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, so I wrote, effed up in Reno, trashed in this casino, living my life like a roll of the dice.
Right. And so when we first started playing Savage at Rock 104.5, I had looked you up and wanted to find out a little bit more about you. And that's when I discovered the song Reno. So my wife is from Montana.
Where at?
She is from Missoula, Montana.
Awesome.
And, you know, her dad and, you know, her mom, they were, you know, big in Montana. And so, you know, she was bummed she couldn't be here tonight.
Awesome. Love Montana people. And go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did we play Reno or was it Laughlin with Kid Rock?
I think it was Laughlin with Kid Rock.
Yeah. Okay, because that was the iconic wrestling on his private jet. I convinced him to fly me home on his jet, and I got hammered, and him and I wrestle a lot. And I'll tell you a funny Kid Rock story real quick, is I was peeing next to him in Kid Rock's bar in Nashville. We had security guards there, and I said, hey, Bob, his name's Bob Ritchie.
Right, yeah.
Hey, Bob, how many times have we wrestled? And he's like, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. And I said, how many times have you had that ass whipped? And he said, 6 or 7 times. And then he goes, but I wrote cowboy, and walks off as some lady. But one of those wrestling incidents was leaving Nevada on his private jet, and we went so hard. And we don't wrestle like fun wrestling. It's very violent, and neither of us can walk the next day. And he gets really mad at me, but we fell into the cockpit at some point.
Uh-oh.
And the pilots were like, absolutely not. Are you out of your minds? And we got drugged to the back of the plane and then wrestled our way back to the front. So anyway, Kid Rock wrestling.
I got two questions for you. You have a tremendous beard.
Thank you.
At one point in time, are you joining ZZ Top?
I don't know. My manager actually thought when RIP Dusty Hill passed that was going to be on the menu. And he's like, please tell me you're not going to leave the Tim Montana thing and join ZZ Top. I'm like, I didn't get asked, but I don't know. I might.
And then, I mean, you're talking about this life you've been able to lead.
Yes, sir.
You're middle of Montana. You grew up, small town, kid with a rough start. And now you've met people like Kid Rock, Billy Gibbons, Joe Bonamassa.
Yeah.
Is this surreal?
Yeah, man, it's pretty wild. It really is. And I met these people pretty early on, you know, and now we're starting to hit. It's kind of did my career backwards. I started my career at the Ed Sullivan Theater when David Letterman found me in Shoto, Montana. and I was 23 on the late show, thinking my ship had come in and no one called. I'm like, oh, I must have sucked. So I went and wrote another record. But David Letterman kind of gave me my taste of that, those butterflies,
right, yeah,
from being on. You know, I remember when he was like, you know, please welcome to the program, making his network television debut. I remember like it was yesterday because I was mortified, right? I was sweating and heart beating and Paul Schaefer's glaring at me. But, you know, he gave me a taste of that early on. And then as I went on, Dave Grohl got added to the Friend Collection, and Billy Gibbons and Gavin Rosdale, and just meeting all my heroes. I did my career backwards, but they're all here to support me, you know, so.
And the big thing is they're bringing you on and doing collaborations with you.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're not only, so just shows to, goes to show, you're extremely talented.
Yeah.
Obviously, or else these guys aren't going to give you the time of day.
Yep.
So
yeah, I've been fortunate to have these people in my camp. You know, it's wild. Although I've pretty much met every person from the poster in that single wide trailer, the posters that were in that bedroom.
Right.
So.
I know that you are you're about 39.
Yes, sir.
And you know you're getting that start, like you said, backwards, and you're kind of getting it now. I have friends that are in bands, 39, 40 years old. What kind of advice would you give to those people that are in bands right now that are still struggling to make it?
Keep going, man. Stapleton didn't hit it till he was 40-something, and, God, you look at most people move out of their parents' basement when they're 30 now.
Right. Yeah.
it's not, you know, I mean, you look back at history, like, you know, World War II, 18-year-olds were lining up to go to war. It's, you know, it's like, it's so changed, right?
Right.
And then in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, rock stars hit in their 20s or their teens.
Right.
And now it's like, it's different. It's a different time. So,
okay,
like, stay in there. And I asked C6 Steve about, you know, getting famous at 60.
Right.
You
okay.
know?
Yeah.
And I got to meet him at the Billy Birthday Bash, and he's just riding trains and nice. Had a song go viral when he was 60. And if you believe in it, and you truly believe in it, because it is a tough business,
right,
then keep going.
Five more questions, but they're really fast. This is a rapid fire.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yep.
Fishing or hunting?
Hunting.
Bobcats or Grizz?
Grizz.
Lynyrd Skynyrd or ZZ Top?
ZZ Top.
On a hot dog, ketchup or mustard?
Ketchup.
Wrong, it's mayo.
Oh, dude, I was going to go with
yes.
mayo.
Yes.
I would. You did. Yeah, I love mayo.
The Greater Montana, Joe or Tim?
Oh, that's tough. Tony?
Tim, thank you so very much
thank
for coming
you guys.
And hanging
appreciate
out with
it.
Us.
Thanks
we appreciate
supporting.
It. Tim Montana, Rock 104.5. Thank you so much, my
thank
friend.
Thank you guys for having me.